Hei, hyvät runovieraat. Ihana lauantai-ilta on jo aika pitkällä. Ja meidän päivän toiseksi viimeinen esiintyjä on jo täällä lavalla mun kanssani. Hän tulee Irlannista. Hän esiintyy tänään ensimmäistä kertaa Suomessa. Olisiko voinut valita parempaa paikkaa? Kysynpä vaan. Ja hän ei tiedä ollenkaan, mistä mä puhun. Mutta hän on runoilija, hän on esiintyjä, hän on näytelmäkirjailija, hän on sanataideopettaja. Vaikuttanut isosti Irlannin spoken word-kulttuuriin. Runovideot on tavoittaneet miljoonia ihmisiä, esiintynyt ympäri maailmaa isoilla lavoilla. Ja tänään hän on Annikin runofestivaalin täällä lavalla. Toivotetaan tervetulleeksi Stephen James Smith. Welcome.
Hey.
Can you feel the love already?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so great to have you here. I heard you came yesterday to Finland.
Yeah. Yes. So it's my first time here. So yes. Thanks to Simo and all the team for having me here. My wife is in the audience and her surname is Lechmus. So she's obviously got Finnish heritage and has been discovering her family tree. So it's nice to be back kind of in her homeland, as it were, with her. Yeah,
we're going to own you, so yes. Maybe we don't... You can't leave this country, no. We're keeping you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just talking about your homepage. You describe yourself as a doer, and you have done a lot of things. I mean, I have a list. You're a writer, actor, dancer, event manager, performer, poet, and many more. Where do you get the energy and ideas?
Well, I'm self-employed 12 years now. And when you're self-employed, you kind of need to be a little bit of everything and spin many plates. So I teach and I organise gigs and all that, and that helps to keep a roof over my head. And also, it's nice to be part of things. And if you want something done, sometimes you have to do it yourself. And as I was saying to you, side stage there, I actually feel really emotional here. There's a few reasons I feel really emotional here. For a start, I've been here since about 2 o'clock today, and some of you may have seen Abdul had a moment where he was unwell, and I think that had an energy shift for us all to remind us how fortunate we are to be here. And I know he's doing fine, so that's great. And then when you're welcomed literally into somebody's home, that's not, most festivals don't have that. So there's been a real warmth and energy and love all throughout the day. And I haven't understood everything, obviously, but I felt it. So I feel quite emotional and almost vulnerable, which is maybe not a bad thing when you're meant to be an emotive person, but it's just really gorgeous what you have here. It's really special. So thanks, yeah.
Yes, you mentioned, yes, these really special people invite us to their homes. But what about your home? I must just read there. You have been nominated as Dublin's unofficial poet laureate, I've heard. So what does Dublin and Ireland mean to you? Home?
Yeah.
But what else?
It's not home anymore. I've actually moved to Wexford in the southeast of Ireland, down by the coast. I moved there just over 3 years ago, and I miss Dublin, and Dublin's obviously got a huge Scandinavian heritage. It's one of the I think it was the second Viking city on the island of Ireland, and I love Dublin, and my last poem I'll probably do is about that. So, and you won't understand it all, but that's okay. Most people from Dublin don't understand it all, and that's okay. But yeah, I'll do that one.
Well, that sounds still great. Yes. Can you tell anything else what we are going to experience today, or is it going to be a surprise?
Just do it. Will I just start?
Okay. Yeah, hey, okay. Let's start.
Cool.
Let's start. Welcome, Stephen James Smith.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Cheers. So, you're all sitting, so I'll sit down with you as well. Mitakulu. That's about the only. I'm gonna start with the poem. Does that sound okay? that's not my best poem, but that's all right. It's just sort of to create the vibe that I'm after. So this is called We Must Create, and it's a little reminder to myself sometimes when we forget these things, or as I said, I'm a doer and you get distracted a lot of the times, or you can do, or I do. And I'd imagine when I side stage looking out at you all, I'm wondering who has been inspired by somebody today to write a poem for the first time. I hope there's many people out there that that's happened to. I'm sure it's happened. Or some people have been scribbling away throughout the day and writing poems down. Yeah, you've been doing that. Good man. Well, this poem is for you, okay? This is called We Must Create. Not a difficult poem, but just here we go. We must create to know who we can be. I say this for you. I say this for me. We must create to know who we can be. Early beginnings, heartbeat, warmth in you, first breath, eyes open, a new point of view, hands touch, ears hear, clocks tick, and I am who. We must create to know who we can be. Screaming out from within, with the voice, hear a note floating on air, lulling the fear, melody all around this atmosphere. We must create to know who we can be. From scrawling with crayons to Lego bricks, knitting needles, soft textile fabrics, to air guitar and L. Jimi Hendrix, we must create to know who we can be. There are creative accountants, CVs, Tinder profiles where you look to bee's knees, but best not to force it, it comes with ease. We must create to know who we can be. We heard the song sung, it helped ease the pain. We didn't feel so lonesome as we sang the refrain. We forgot that feeling until we heard it again. We must create to know who we can be. Do you remember the time you heard an opening allegro, or when that beat dropped and how it made your head go? Some things make no sense unless you're in flow. We must create to know who we can be. You may rise then fall, or fall then rise. An arc of a story contains no surprise, but how you tell it, therein the art lies. We must create to know who we can be. If you do it for the money, you'll be called a fraud. And I had to negotiate with Simo to get me out here, which was really always awkward when you're meant to be an artist, but you also have to like invoice people and stuff like that. And thanks for the payment when I eventually get it. But if you do it for the money, you'll be called a fraud. If you think you're great company and you might be God, delusions of grandeur aren't that odd. We must create to know who we can be. There's all sorts of forms, disciplines, levels. To challenge yourself in the intervals, we'll find rivals and reasons for approvals. We must create to know who we can be. If it saved you from yourself, and now there's no other way, it doesn't matter how it moved you. Welcome to the ballet. You've just found the peak of Parnassus. Fair play. We must create to know who we can be. I say this for you, I say this for me, we must create to know who we can be. So, yeah, it's not too complicated, but it's, you get the message, obviously. So one of the reasons I'm here is because of a friend of mine, Moira, and her father you may have heard of. I'd imagine you have. Her father is called Pentti Saritsa. Sorry. Who is a famous translator, and I met Moira a few years ago, friends with her and her now husband. They got married in Finland, so they did, and Moira connected me with the guys, and I'm very grateful to her, and she, I spoke to her last week, and she's translated some of her father's poetry from Finnish into English, and this is just a short one of his, and I thought it'd be a nice way to kind of like, why am I here, and connecting and all those, you know what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, so it's a short one, and it goes like this. You do not believe when I say it. You do not have to. But sometimes when I get you to brightly laugh, or when a cry is near in your voice, a bell rings. and I am the lunatic around whose neck the bell has been hung. Which, that's fucking deadly. So it is. So that's one of his poems that's been translated by Moira into English, and I just, yeah, thought it'd be good to do that. How are you okay? Yeah. Has anybody any questions? You're fine. Okay, Grant. I've so many things I can do, and I'm just sometimes that confuses me as to what to do next. But maybe I'll do a poem for my mother. So we're basically in someone's garden here. Which is gorgeous. And my mother. What's your name again? Mary. So Mary's sorting out the backstage area, doing a great job of it. And she said to me that there was some big rock star on here a while ago, and he was really nervous. And she's like, why? Our audience here is like going into your mother's arms. And then he goes, you don't know my mother. kind of somewhat relevant to my mum as well. But page 19, she... I was texting her last night, so I was, and she's a great gardener, so she is, and I wrote this poem or kind of prosy piece about her. I don't see her often enough, is the truth, and I wrote this about, I'm 42 now, I wrote this 14 years ago, and she's quite religious. I'm not really religious, live and let live is sort of my philosophy. But I went to church with her one day, and she likes to go to jazz music, so we went to a jazz gig afterwards and had a meal. And as she was driving me back home to where I used to live in the car, she says, you know, I pretend to be happy. I was like, oh, that's quite a heavy thing to hear anybody say, particularly something from your mother. And later on that evening, I wrote this in about 10 or 15 minutes, it was just ready to kind of come out of me. And it's called The Gardener. And obviously, yeah, we're in the garden. So, I'll do this one for yourself over there. There's a great book also by Warren Ellis called Nina Simone's Gum. It's one of my favourite. Has anybody read it? It's one of my favourite. It's amazing. And Nina Simone on her rider. So you need to sort this out for next year, okay? She says there needs to be champagne, cocaine and cocktail sausages, okay? So you can sort that out for next year. Or 2 years, I'm only joking. Okay, right. Anyway, the gardener. She turned to me and said, do you think I'm happy? And I heard a question I didn't want to hear. I knew the answer. I've listened to the cry, but to face it, it made me uneasy. But I felt the bravery. I felt the realness in the moment, so I answered, you see. She's a gardener who has great plans but works what she's got. She loves creation, sees beauty and wants to share it with you. Understands the cruelty of nature and yet it fills with wonder. Have you tried her rhubarb fresh from Granny's garden? You should. Maybe there are prettier roses, but you'd rather be a cooking apple or better yet, a gooseberry. Her hands are worn, the flesh loosened by age. She held my hand in church today for the first time in too long. Her eyes are still young, still life to be lived. This Joe Bangles is not condemned when there is breath left. Still seeking that happiness. God love her. People before profit, she says. A modern day Guevara or Connolly as a nation lets her down, working 34 years in a job, draining away her very essence for what? To feed me. Educate me. Clothe me. But not stopping there. I remember she took me to Mrs. Prendergast near Buttons when we couldn't afford to go to Buttons. Caravanning and roundwood to the takeaway Chinese, the Isle of Man, the cinema, jazz after church every Sunday, as we did today, 28 years on, taught me to notice the sunset, her bondage, a sick child and a broken marriage, all this, and I don't know how to speak to her. I always want to hug her, and I don't know how. So a veiled kiss laced with courtesy will do. She's been learning how to stop living inside her own head, gets up, goes out, half the battle. No panic attacks for a while, still manic but calmer now, still pretending, still xenophobic, homophobic, not meaning to be. Lost marbles down gutters like dreams, the anger. It's fresher though. Built up over years of false dawns, mistrust, reduced expectations, frustrations. She wants contentment now, quiet, peace, or perhaps birdsong in her garden. Where she will grow apples, pears, spuds, raspberries, strawberries and gooseberries, watch them bloom again and return to the soil, but not before she has lived a life deserving. My mother told me today, she pretends to be happy. What do you say to that? Let's watch her flower now, I say. And bring her some water. It's very warm here underneath these lights. I'm getting all a dry mouth. Or maybe I'm just petrified, terrified of you all. Not really. You're a very well-behaved audience. Is there any questions or anything you'd like to ask me or say? And maybe that might take me on a different path and I could do poems I wasn't expecting to say.
How old are you?
I'm 42. I said that earlier, though, so you should have been listening. any other questions? It's not an exam. It's fine. No, okay. Well, if there is, let me know. What I'm going to do... Thanks. Good question. I do. I wrote a play 12 years ago now, and because he had heard that poem, and he says, "You want to write something for me?" And so I did. I wrote a monologue, a poetic monologue in a play I wrote, and then he heard it. Like he came to see the play. In fact, I wrote it with two other guys, and then. He came directly through the stage and everybody else in the production realised and they just left. We had this conversation and hug after that, which was, it was a difficult one to write because my relationship with my dad thankfully has improved a lot. I know what I'm going to do now. Yeah, brilliant. I'm not going to do that one because I haven't memorised it. I haven't done it in a long time. I'm going to do a poem called Saintly Sister and I think I have time for these things. I'll do this. I'll do an Ilya Kaminsky poem and I'll do my Dublin poem and then I'm out of here. That should be in time. So this is Saintly Sister. I wrote it on Bridget's Day, which is now a national holiday in Ireland, and I was invited to walk in a beautiful park with a bunch of arty-farty people, and my dad was unwell. I got a phone call when I was in Valencia to say that he had cancer. Thankfully, he's doing better now, and I wrote this on St. Bridget's Day, and it goes like this. I ought to have another pair of eyes for a different perspective and ways of seeing this world. What colour would yours be? Mine, a greeny blue, a hue not lost on you. Teenage trauma led to a black eye and an eventual cataract, blurring my vision and depth of field. Ironic. Poets are meant to be prophetic, but I didn't see that punch coming, nor did I expect to be knocked by the answer to my question. Would you like grandchildren? I asked my father. I would like a daughter, he said. And with that, a loss I never knew existed, my unknown skin and blister, a sister, a figment of imagination, a regret, an unborn sibling, one to rival with, be the apple of his eye no matter how hard I try. So I write this for you, sister, on this saintly day. So I'll call you Bridget, Mary of the Gales, goddess of poetry, yarner of tales, singer of spring, druidess of oak, holy fire smoke, teach me of brotherhood, sorority, take anything you want from me. I don't remember how we first met, because it never happened, but did you hide my bike, help me with homework, push me off the tree, Was I overbearing with my love, protecting you from your partner? Did I do unspeakable deeds when you told me what they'd done? Or was I overjoyed at being the godfather to your first son, making me an uncle? Will I? Would I make you an aunt? Who was told first, or were we both there when cancer was uttered? Did we take it in turns going to the hospital? Were you younger or older, I, the pupil or the master? I'd selfishly rather die first than read at your funeral. Are you pagan in tradition, shining in bold colours, white and silver for snow and ice, pale gold for the passing winter sun, jade green for the first flowers of spring, garnet red for the lamps reborn, amethyst for protection and the birthstone of February? With the sun's growing strength, you brightened each day. And here, you found me halfway. Between the solstice and equinox, I am a straw boy to your cross, and I sense your healing. At this time of rebirth, you've been born, revealing my blind ignorance. Sister, now I find all we have is the imagination to play happy families in the mind. One thing's for sure, though. I know you'd be kind.
Thanks. So that's on my album, which is available for sale over there. And there's only 4 copies of the album if you want to get it afterwards. Or you could just listen on Spotify if you want to do that. But there's lovely music behind it. I'm very lucky to collaborate with different artists that are far more talented than me, and I just lean into their talent. And so you can listen to that one again if you wish. So, as I mentioned earlier, feeling very emotional today, given the warmth. And there's a saying, you know, it takes a village. This is literally a village. Like, it takes a village to make things happen. And this village is coming together to create this beautiful, beautiful festival, something that you should be so, so proud of, and something that all the volunteers need so much thanks for. To open their homes to make this happen is amazing. So it is. It's amazing. So we need to remind ourselves of that. Yes. So, and like, not to be a downer, but to be a realist, we need to remind ourselves of that and the privilege that we have. And I'm thinking of Ilya Kaminsky. He has a poem called "We Lived Happily During the War," which he wrote in 2015, I believe, and sadly is still relevant today. And I'm wearing a T-shirt, which I wasn't sure of wearing. I Googled earlier, and I'd only get overtly, well, no, fuck it. I was Googling, like, you know, is Finland pro-Palestinian or what's the story? And like, not that Google is all the answers. You don't know what the fuck to be doing. And you're kind of wary of, like, what's your, I don't want to be antagonistic, but like, well, it's the poor, you know, that ultimately are the brunt of things. But this is a T-shirt, Irish Artist for Palestine, and that's not to be dismissive of any people's, you know. There's, yeah. But, and, you know, that's not to be dismissive of anybody's trauma. You know, I'm absolutely not in favour of trauma at all for anybody or any... Any killing is unnecessary, obviously, but this poem is by Ilya, and I just thought it'd be relevant, unfortunately, to read it. And when they bombed other people's houses, we protested, but not enough. We opposed them, but not enough. I was in my bed. Around my bed, America was falling, invisible house by invisible house by invisible house. I took a chair outside and watched the sun. In the 6th month of a disastrous rain, in the house of money, in the street of money, in the city of money, in the country of money, our great country of money, we, forgive us, lived happily during the war. Ilya is a Ukrainian poet, as I mentioned, and actually happens to be deaf. And I recommend you go and look them up and check them out on YouTube and hear them reciting their poetry. It's very powerful. So it is to hear any poet speaking their own poems. That's like, I'm actually dyslexic. So I struggle with books. I have a second collection of books coming out soon. But for me, I love to listen to poetry. It's an oral art form, first and foremost. And YouTube is a great resource. But I recommend you going and finding that poem online and listening to it and share it. But yeah, that's heavy, but that's okay. That's part of life. So it is. And I have 10 minutes. So I've one that I know I'm going to end on. Are we all okay? Have I bummed the fuck out of this whole thing? Okay. I know what I'll do. I'll do Raglan Road, because Casper over there, rather embarrassingly, was singing Irish songs to me outside and knows more words of songs than I do, and speaking to me Osquelga. So this is my foreign tongue, English. Irish would be the native changa, the native tongue, obviously, of Ireland. But this is a poem that was turned into a song. And then I'll do this in my Dublin poem, and then we're going to go and check out. Well, I'm going to sign some books, and we're going to check out Casper as well later on. And yeah, so on Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger, yet I walked along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street, in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of the deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge. The Queen of Hearts still making tarts, and sure I not making hay? Oh, I love too much, and by such, his happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind. I gave her the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone and word and tint. I did not stint, for I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields in May on a quiet street where old ghosts meet. I see her walking now. Away from me so hurriedly, my reason must allow that I had wooed not as I should a creature made of clay. And when the angel woos, the clay he'd lose his wings at the dawn of the day. So it's a Patrick Kavanagh poem. Thanks for that. Phil, last one. Thanks again for the invitation. What else would you say? I wrote loads of things down that I loved about here in my short time here. Myself and my wife got up at 4 a.m. yesterday morning to get here, because I don't live in Dublin anymore, so to get the flight. So we missed our breakfast in the hotel. But it was great, because we went down to the market earlier on and we got to, you know, see how people live and have our coffee in the market. And then we ended up going to Deco's, and I fucking love that little coffee shop, because you can buy a coffee, you can buy a bra, you can buy an umbrella, you can buy a chocolate liqueur, you can buy postcards, you can buy it's just deadly. Like, it's just, and she was so interesting, the lady, I presume it's Deco. And she was wearing a dress, and there's a painting of her, like, with her back to the artist, and she's wearing the same dress. I was like, it's fucking great. So that was lovely. That's something that happened to us. And then last night it was raining, and I like to walk. Normally, if I go to a new city, to see it that way, but wasn't going to walk for half an hour in the rain. So we ordered an Uber, and the girl that collected us in the Uber, we were her very, very first ever Uber people. And initially I was going, this girl hasn't got a fucking clue what she's doing. What? I was kind of like, should we be in this car? What's going on? And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's my, and then you're like, oh, okay. Well, we're not in a row. Are you okay? We're grand. We'll get there. It's fine. And I hope, she worked in a Mexican restaurant and her dad's a taxi man, and now she's doing Uber. So if you meet a young lady fucking be nice to her, all right? And gave her a fiver tip as well, even though the fare was only 12. So that was another lovely thing that happened. And there's loads more. But anyway, this is my poem. I'll bring you back to Dublin with this. Dublin. You were a grey brick upon brick full of tarmac and hipster pricks, just face it. All other places pale in comparison, you are more than some former Saxon garrison Dublin. Your warmth came too late for John Curry Dublin, are you even sorry Dublin? You're divided by more than the Liffey. You said yes to equality, it's about blooming time at Dublin. You always proclaim to cherish all. I just got the 5 minutes. This is a 5 minute poem. Okay, it's a 5 minute poem. She always proclaim to cherish all. Where was I? Oh, Jesus. Dublin, your panties are on Capel Street, compromising any papal feeds. Dublin, Jedward, awkward. Dublin, you're more than a settlement on the paddle. But Dublin, what's the crack with coddle? It's shite. Why don't you just admit it, Dublin? You brought back Sam again. But when did you go from the Clash of the Arts to exchanging gold for cash, Dublin? Dublin, Oblina, Balia Ohaclia, and 180 other tongues your citizens are using to name you. So cade me to fault you to all. Dublin, where the power is held by too few and the doll. Dublin, when will you revolt again? 1988 wasn't your true millennium, despite the 50 peas and milk bottles. Dublin, you're mine, but I'm happy to share you, Dublin. From RTE, TCD, UCD, U2, SIP2, IFSC, and acrimonious Semperbar STDs, ODs, 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 and no MGs. No longer the second city. Yet you play second fiddle to Google and Guinness, to Facebook and on social twits. Dublin, look at yourself. Your tower blocks and tenements are an excuse for a solution. Dublin, come here, that'll tell you more than rapid dirt birds and banjacks, bowsies, an all right story. But yeah, sure, it's all good. Jace, that's Galdi. Why go, Bolly? McSorry and the lawyer. Dublin, I cry for you, Dublin. You're a tough bastard. Yet you're full of the softness of all the people on your streets. Margaret Dunn dancing on O'Connell Street, the Dice Man Tom McGinty miming on Grafton Street, Pat Inglesby with his poems, Westmoreland Street and your Mollies, Malone, Ivers and Bloom, to Daly, Sally, Sandley Mountain, the Gospel of Kelly, Drew, McKenna and Sheen, to Boris, the boys like Brendan Bean, to Glance with Joyce and Evelyn looking out to sea. Snow falling slowly on the dead in Glasnevin, Glen and Marquette, one strolling to Christy Brown, willfully controlling a foot to paint pictures and poems to your heroines. Brenda Fricker, the city's mother, and Maureen O'Harlan enchanting other. Dublin, you are boom and bust, running wild and swift. Dublin, can I trust you? Dublin, your true blue is Harry Clark's cobalt. Dublin, from a thin Lizzie Dicey Riley to a floozy in a jacuzzi, God fear on Dublin, shooting down Veronica Gear. On Dublin, your bang bang, 40 coats, Zosimus, a blind street pole. Dublin, you were all of us and all who are yet to come. So let's go to the grave digs and have a pint, Dublin. Remember Stardust and all your waltzing lovers, Big Jim's arms red, stretched tourism people, yet are we under the thumb again, Dublin. Your cheapy old columns are scarred from the crackle of gunshots, Dublin. Your CCTV will never yield your essence like the shots of Arthur Fields, Man on Bridge, you or the Poolbeg Towers and the poor showers begging on Bachelor's Walk. Dublin, you're all talk, yet you have my attention. From Robbie Keane to Paul and me in Dublin's calling, ooh, ah, Paul McGrath, while some say up the rah, Dublin. Bridging gaps with Joyce and Beckett and Fonny to Rosie Hackett, Dublin. Paddy Fittigan was forced to sell the big issue on your streets while Daffodil Mulligan was played to bear on beats. Dublin, you say delish. Dublin, you're full of the Polish and Brazilian speaking Portuguese, and now the Chinese have turned Parnell Street into Chinatown. Dublin, don't let them down. Dublin, don't forget. No blacks, no dogs, no Irish. Dublin, perish the thought of you being racist. Dublin, Cú Chulainn has fled the GPO to heading for Monto. Dublin, your bay embraces, despite the Sellafield Sea, your mountains frame all your natural beauty. Dublin, a whale and banshee stricken with TB. Dublin, you're European, but you could be Craggy Island in the skies. Gabriel Conroy is heading west because of an epiphany. Just saying, Dublin, you only painted your postboxes green. Is the Abbey doing all you dreamed? Dublin are notorious for clampers, senators and seagulls, to Celtic tigers and septic tanks, to singing high kings and rampaging Vikings. Dublin, come here. Take me for a teddies and a romantic stroll down with the pier. Dublin, you're a dancing place, a sprawling space of villages and many faces on the edge of an island that's been eroded by the Atlantic, battling with being romanticised. Dublin, are you dynamic? Struggling with identity. Changing for the better. Changing for us. Don't be scared to change. Don't be scared.
were with you always, my friend, my home. Mentioned 50 times in this poem, we live in you, with you, my city, Machree. I love you most of the time. You see, Dublin, you are me. Thank you all so, so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of the night. Thank you. Thank you. Kitos. Kitos. Kitos.